Why did Jesus come? He came, John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want this morning to look at to whom this life is promised, how this life is brought about, and why. These words, I am come that they might have life, are spoken to people that fit into two categories, the same person, same group, but two things are true about them. They are spoken to, first of all, his sheep. That is the context of this passage that Jesus is speaking of. He is saying he has come that his sheep, he has come as the shepherd, that his sheep, the church of the living God, might have life. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his possession, and he is the good shepherd. If you are redeemed, you are in that condition because you heard the voice of the shepherd and recognized his voice amongst the noisy din of all the hirelings vying for your attention. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. A lost sheep or a lamb outside of the protection of the fold or the shepherd is really under a sentence of death. It will die from predators or starvation. Secondly, these words are spoken to people who are, for all intents and purposes, dead. We are dead. When you hear these words outside of Christ, you're dead. We live in a culture today that is increasingly fixated on death. It is the prevailing theme in almost everything that people watch and listen to. From things as seemingly innocent as murder mysteries to popular series about zombies and horror movies. Symbols of death are worn on clothing and on bumper stickers and advertised as just a fashion statement. Yet, our culture is obsessed with death, mainly because they embrace the fallen state of mankind rather than lament it. But physical death is nothing to embrace and revel in. Death is a destroyer. It is a weapon wielded by the great destroyer and murderer, the master robber thief baron himself, Satan. Anyone can steal or kill. It doesn't take great skill or ingenuity to destroy what somebody else has built, right? Our children do it all the time with everything we own in our homes. Any able-bodied man can knock down a building, but only a skilled craftsman can build a good one and build a structure that will last. Anyone with the right weapon and evil intention can rob somebody of their life. People do it accidentally all the time with carelessness and lack of forethought. But nobody, none of us, not even an angel from heaven, can create or cause life to come into being. Only Jesus Christ, only God can do that. So, we know that we have life. Life has been robbed from us through sin, through the sin of Adam. But how does Christ then restore to us that which has been stolen? And how does he recreate that which has been destroyed? He does this through two ways, through his death. Through his death. He brings us life through his death. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Philippians, in being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. By his death, by dying in a substitutionary manner, as we've heard others expound on this morning, by becoming a curse for us, by satisfying the righteous demands of the law, Christ brought life to his sheep, to his church. Because he said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down willingly, Christ made it possible for us to be partakers of the divine nature and have spiritual life, life now and for eternity. because he came to die this death, to suffer not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, to be on this earth as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, so we would know true joy, he, by his death, brought us life. The second way he brings us this life is through our death. In another glorious scripture text, Paul writes, and we could preach an entire sermon on this. That's why I like to go last, because I can take more time. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How are we brought life by Christ? Through our death. By professing Christ, I'm identifying with his death, that Christ may truly live in me and that I might experience the life that he brings. For me to live is Christ. To have life and to have it more abundantly is not just about going to heaven when we die. It's not having to live, I'm going to go to heaven when I die if I can get through this life of doom and gloom here on earth. It's not just the other end of the spectrum, all about living a life of my way, my dreams, my plans, and tack Christ onto the end of it. It's not a life where there's no adversity. It's not the carefree life of ease where we just look forward to heaven like a lot of the, you know, songs of the culture in a happy, clappy, lighthearted gospel music sort of way, where it's just nothing but joy and bliss in that life if I can ever get there. But it is a life of sometimes great suffering, of heavy burdens, yet still a life through this crucifixion and this daily putting to death of ourselves that we can live a life full of the fullness of God. And so when we are crucified with Christ, experiencing his sanctification, it is many times through our life going to be tough. It is going to be hard. And it's not up to us to look up to God when God has us in a particular grievous time of sanctification, say, all right, Lord, I think I've got this now. You can end the sanctification now. You can end it. I think I'm sanctified. No, it's our entire life. Our entire life of crucifixion to ourselves. It's when we walk daily in the positional reality that we have in Christ, that we are truly crucified with him, dead to all the ugliness and darkness of our own sin nature. It's when we're washing the dishes and we don't think we should be having to do that. It's when we are, you know, patting ourselves on the back and saying, man, my wife sure is blessed that I'm such a servant that I'll actually stoop to wash these dishes for her. I hope she comes in and compliments me for this. It's when we lose sleep. It's when things don't work out the way we plan them to work out. It's when Christmas isn't what we think it should be. It's in all of the things that we want to work out our way in the time we think we deserve, our time, me time, that doesn't happen, that we are crucified to the flesh and crucify this old nature and this old man. It's when we want to satisfy ourselves with sin because we're going through a hard day that we say that we identify with Christ and know he has walked before us. It's when we realize that this old man is still being dragged along with us. And then we wake up every day, crucified with Christ, yet alive with Christ, breathing the fresh air of the gospel, opening up our eyes to see him by faith, to believe his promises, yielding, and then walking every single day in the strength and vitality of Christ, being strengthened in our inner man. The life of crucifixion is not always easy or pleasant. It requires violence towards that which is nearest and dearest to us, ourself. And we are very much alive and will not be fully crucified till we die. It is a painful and daily thing, but yet it is a victorious and powerful thing to be alive to the will of God, not dead to God like we were before we were saved, but alive to his voice, alive to his mind and his purposes. And it is a life of war. Christ has called us to a life of warfare, not just of crucifixion, but to wake up with battle songs on our lips, to be a joyful warrior against principalities and darkness and powers of darkness. Much of the New Testament language is military. We are not just living this life of warfare, hunkered down, just trying to survive the day, hoping that we're not going to lose our temper. Hopefully nothing bad's going to happen if I can just get through and not blow it. No, a life of warfare that Christ has called us to advance against the kingdom of darkness, to advance against death, to bring life to others. He's breathed life into us to make us soldiers to go and to attack and take back ground from the enemy in our inner man, in our homes, in our churches, and in our counties, states, nation. Jesus Christ has come to bring us life. And that's our mindset, daily reckoning ourselves, considering ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, Romans, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, Christ has not just called us to life. Many of you, through unfortunate circumstances, are living but a life of pain, a life of that is not your full life that you had when you were younger, a life that is just trying to get through. Spiritually speaking, Christ has not just come to bring us life, but he says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just to survive. This is a comparative sense here. That in the sense that he has come to give us life more abundantly than that which was lost and stolen to from us through sin. We are heirs with Christ. We're not just alive, we are heirs with Christ, seated in heavenly places, more than conquerors. A life of hope, a life of grace, a life where joy cannot be stolen from us by circumstances or even by persecution. A life that is so much more than living for the pleasures of sin. The more we engage in sinful pleasures, the less pleasure it brings us, yet the greater hold it has on our life. But with Christ, there is no bottom to the glories. The pleasures just keep getting better and better and better. Christ becomes greater and greater as we explore and experience and meditate on him. It's not going to decrease. It's only going to increase. And yet the hold gets stronger. He came to give us life more abundantly than that which was lost. This is always the result of the gospel, isn't it? It does not just restore us to our former position before the fall, but gives us more than we ever had before. Not just our debts forgiven, but righteousness deposited onto our account. Not just released from slavery, but adopted as a son. Not just given life, but a greater measure of life than can ever have been realized when Adam was immortal. That's redemption. That's the gospel. That's what Christ came to do. He came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Amen. Amen.